Our reading for September 15th starts the book of 1 Timothy. We are in chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. So Paul begins writing to Timothy, as in verse 2 he talks about him being his true child in the faith. Paul was more than a mentor. They had a relationship that went beyond what we would classify as colleagues. Indeed, I would even venture to say that their relationship went beyond friendship. This is like a father and son. They're very close. He's very proud of Timothy. He's very happy with him. He trusts him completely, and I think that we could say the same likewise, though we don't have the writings of Timothy to confirm that. We usually call Timothy the young evangelist, though I would point out that at this point, Timothy's probably somewhere around 40 years old, so he's not quite young in terms of what we'd think of. You know, young today, we call a young evangelist. We're probably talking about maybe early 20s, late 20s. And I was in my 30s when I started preaching, and people called me young at the time. Of course, I was in a congregation that had a lot of folks that were older. And Timothy has traveled with Paul. He spent a lot of time with Paul. And now Paul is sending him out, and I would say even he's beginning to pass the baton, if you will, of the gospel. He's passing on the care of the church and the care of the saints to Timothy, because Paul's not going to be around forever. And later on, we're going to talk about the fact that Paul tells Timothy that he needs to likewise do the same. He needs to train other men to take on some of the work as well. Timothy won't be around forever either. That's pretty tough to do, to plan ahead and have people that will take on the work later. Especially in a congregation in which folks are older, you need to be looking for opportunities to train the younger to do the things that you're doing. We are not going to be around forever, and the church needs workers. And to the young, I would say, you need to be ready to take on those things. You know, you see some the older folks that it's always been their job to do certain things, you need to jump in there and say, hey, I want you to let me help you. I want you to even tell me how to do these things. I want to be able to do these things by myself at some point, and I need you to help me. And they're not going to turn you down. They're going to be very happy that you want to participate in the work. And anyone that has been doing many things within the Lord's church, you're going to be happy also to know that that work will continue. It won't just stop when they are unable to do those things any longer. I don't mean to digress, but I just wanted to point those things out. So he has told him to remain at Ephesus, primarily because, as he says, there are people that need to be told not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies that promote speculations. Oh, people like speculations. These people are getting into speculations and disputes to the point of they're going to follow those speculations, and that should never be so. What God has revealed in His Holy Scriptures is what we need to follow. That is the truth, and we shouldn't allow any speculations or discussions or any other thoughts of man to invade that truth. We go by the truth and only by the truth, and we follow the law that has been given to us through that scripture that we must follow in order to be in Christ, and we take advantage of, yes, even some liberties that are given to us, but we still follow exactly what God has given us, not what any man tells us. That's where we need to be. So that's in essence what he's telling Timothy you need to do. Teach what's truth and then tell people to stick with only that. We need to be able to identify the truth from the scriptures and stick with it. Says that these things can distract them so that they're just, you know, pulled away from that stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of the charge, verse 5, is love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. And he says that there are people that have swerved from these things because they wandered away into those vain discussions and myths, endless genealogies, speculations, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding. Sometimes people get it in their heads that they want to be teachers when they don't really understand it themselves. And I have been hesitant to preach on a passage or a topic in which I don't feel like I've got it figured out. There may be times in which someone asks something very specific about a minute part of a passage, and I'll say, I'm not sure, I don't really have a good answer for that. But if somebody says, I want you to preach on this subject, but I don't have that subject figured out, I'm not getting up there to preach it. I'm not going to get up there to teach it. Now, we have to understand it ourselves if we're going to teach it to anybody else. Verse 8 and 9, we know the law is good if you use it lawfully, but understand that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient. He's not saying that law has no place for us. It absolutely does. We have to follow the laws of God, the ways of God, the ways of righteousness that we are trained in through the scriptures if we want to be pleasing to Him. But he says that that law is what identifies sin. And so when these people are engaged in all these various things that he lists here, it needs to be called out as sin. And that's what the law does. And notice that after he gives this little list here in verse 10, he says, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Well, it is that doctrine, again, that defines the boundaries of that which is lawful and tells you that everything outside of those boundaries is unlawful. This is in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which he had been entrusted, which Timothy has been entrusted with now, and likewise, all of us really, to one degree or another, have been entrusted with it, whether we are teaching it or whether we are following it. He says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. And he talks about his former life being a blasphemer, persecutor, insolent opponent, but he received mercy. And Paul very well understood it, the idea of him receiving grace and mercy. And he understood that that was such a huge gift that he could never repay, but that he was going to do the absolute best of his ability to be as great a servant as he could be simply because he'd received that
huge gift. And he points out, you know, he says, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. And he, that was an humble attitude that Paul had, but it was also an attitude in which he realized that he was trying to oppose the will of God directly when he was persecuting the church. And he says, I received mercy that in me as the foremost, Jesus might display his perfect patience. So in Paul, the chiefest of sinners, if you want to continue to use that phrase, the mercy and the grace of God is displayed so that everyone knows. Well, they can take advantage of that grace and mercy as well, as Paul preaches the word and others preach the word. Then verse 17, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He honors God for what he has done and what he's allowed Paul to take advantage of. Verse 18, I entrust you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. That he can engage in that spiritual warfare as an evangelist to teach the truth and to rebuke those that do not follow that sound doctrine. He needs to hold to his faith, do so in a good conscience. And there have been those that have rejected that and they've made shipwreck of their faith. They've fallen short of faith at all. And then he mentions Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. So they've been disciplined in some way, though we don't have the specifics here. Thank you for listening today as we got started in the book of 1 Timothy. Please come back tomorrow as we get into chapter 2, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.